You just want to take the first year.
How cool would that be?
No, not cool. Fuck you. Drinky winky.
Pinky stinky.
Drinky winky.
Get tipsy.
I'm actually quite thirsty.
Oh,
uh-oh. Dear.
Hello! And welcome to the biggie. It's episode 50 of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure.
50! Yeah, welcome. My name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
And I don't know why I shouted that.
I don't know either.
I'm excited.
You're very excited tonight.
I'm excited. It's episode 50.
We'll crash and burn in a minute. It'll be fine.
Yeah. this week we're talking about
the Terminator. The Terminator. Yes, the Terminator.
So this one was voted on, not just by our Patreons, but by other people.
Not just by our Patreons, why not?
Well, they sort of were going head-to-head on this. Ooh. So it was a choice between The Abyss and Terminator.
Yes.
And then we opened it up to people on our Facebook.
Because it was a tie.
It was a tie. And, it was about
a
It was about a 70-30 split. It was about a 70-30 split.
And so, yes, it came down on the side of the Terminator. So here we go.
Yes.
1984.
What?
Pardon?
I thought it's 1985. Yeah. You 1984.
Yeah. You had a good week?
Yeah. It's been all right.
It's good. The sun is finally out today.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo!
What about you? You had a nice...
Yes. Not bad at all. Not too bad. Well, I mean, it's been pissing down for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very nice at the moment.
Good. Yeah, I mean, the most 80s stuff I have done this week, apart from listening to Ice House Crazy, is watch The Terminator.
Nice. Snap. Well, let's not fuck about it. Great. 1984, got any facts for us?
Oh, I'd certainly do. Right, Darren, some fun facts about 1984. Some facts. 1984. So we had the book, The Witches of Eastwick, came out in April 1984.
Oh, excellent.
And the film was 87, so that was very, very quick snapped up into a film, wasn't it?
Who was it written by?
Well, if I was more thorough, I would have put
down. Okay, fair enough. Right.
So it was a book, then it became a film and a musical, so it's done.
Great musical. One that I really, really want to do. Updike, John Updike.
Yes, of course. Right, also, the Thames Barrier, that opened.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
So by the Queen, 1987, designed to protect London from floods.
Yeah. It's a funny looking thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember it being an episode of Doctor Who.
Yes, where they drained the Thames.
Yeah. Is that right? Because wasn't it the spider people?
They were called the spider people.
Well, it's like an arachnid race.
The Arachnos.
The Arachnos.
Or some shit.
Or something like that.
I don't know.
David Tennant episode, from what I remember.
It's The Runaway Bride, Catherine Tate. Or some shit. I don't know. What are you asking me?
Well, I don't know why I'm
only
asking.
Only a nerd, but no. Other.
So that's. It looks very cool.
And that's still there.
And it's still there.
As far as I know.
Right, Vauxhall, they unveil the Mark II Astra.
Is that what, the one you had?
Maybe. I don't know, cuz. Yeah, I think it was the Mark II Astra.
What race was yours? F?
G.
Yeah, so it probably would have been a Mark II.
Nice. Many memories of Darren and I driving back from a breakfast place on Boxing Day with hangover.
Yeah,
or day after Boxing Day.
Well, no, not driving, because, you know, obviously... Don't drive the day after.
No. Anyway, and also, this is quite topical because Eurovision was a few weeks ago. Mm. So the Harry song.
The Harry song?
Is it Harry's?
Diggy Lou, Diggy Lay.
It wins Eurovision.
For Norway?
Yes, that's why it went. It was,
or some shit, I don't
know. No, it was a Swedish song, wasn't it? And yeah, okay. It was. They won in Luxembourg.
Nice.
And it became a top 10 hit in 5 countries.
See? Back when Eurovision wasn't political.
What are you talking about, mate?
Yes.
Well, since Eurovision was hot on, I thought, do you know what? I've had that Germany song stuck in my head.
Yes, you have. You tried to get it stuck in my fucking head.
Yeah.
And luckily, it hasn't been.
Unlike the song Super Snooper.
Yeah, nobody knows what that is, but hey.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, okay. And finally, the fictional leader of the Resistance is conceived in a motel while on the run from a Terminator in 1984.
pointless 80s boobs.
Yes. Yes. No such thing as pointless.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. So those are my facts from 1984. How about we have the chart?
The Terminator was first released in the USA on the 26th of October 1984, and so this week we are looking at the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 21st of October 1984. At number 10 this week, it's a fall of 3 places for the Style Council and Shout to the Top. At number 9, up 1 place from last week's number 10, it's John Waite and Missing You. It's another climber at number 8 for Alison Moyet, up from last week's number 12, All Cried Out. At number 7, dropping 1 place from last week's number 6, it's Drive, The Cars. And at number 6, down from last week's number 3, it's Culture Club and The War Song. Into the top 5, up from last week's 22, it's Chaka Khan and I Feel For You. And falling 2 places from last week's number 2 to this week's number 4, it's Stevie Wonder and I Just Called to Say I Love You. Into the top 3, up from last week's 5, it's Giorgio Moroder and Philip Oakey, Together in Electric Dreams. And at number 2, up from last week's 4, it's Paul McCartney, No More Lonely Nights. Which means it's a non-mover at number 1, it's Wham and Freedom. And that was the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 21st of October, 1984. Now, I know I've said it a couple of times, but I think that could be the best top 10 we've had so far.
It's all right, isn't it?
It's fucking amazing.
So yeah. I never look at the charts. I never, ever look at the charts before mm-hmm. we record. And that, yeah, everyone that's coming up, I'm like nodding. And yeah. I tried to turn it into a drinking game because sometimes Darren might stumble over the charts. And I decided to turn it into a drinking game. Every time he stumbled, I'd have a drink, but he didn't stumble at all this time. So I was there.
Thank God for that.
So I was there waiting to drink. There are some cracking.
Absolute cracking.
What was it, 8?
All Cried Out, Alison Moyet.
9? What was 9?
Missing You, John Waite.
Is that one like...
I ain't missing you at all. Missing you. Since you been gone. Away. Yep. That's a cracking song.
You can hear our single from Monday when it's released.
Download it from the first of Never. But Freedom from Wham, Together in Electric Dreams. It's one of my funeral songs, as you know.
Yeah. Right, keep it light.
I'm not keeping it light. It's got to be celebrate and all that.
We listened to that this week as well, didn't we? We were listening to that, and you've never seen the film.
Nope, but it's 80s, so it's, I'm sure it's going to be on the list. Anyway, just outside the top 10, there's some crackers here, so... Strap yourself in.
All right.
I'm going to tell you, play hands down, Paul Young, Ghostbusters, Ray Parker Jr. Why, Bronski Beat, Skin Deep, The Stranglers.
Hang on, why? Is that the...
Tell me why!
Oh, yeah, nice.
I don't know why I did that. That really hurt.
No, that's great.
Pride in the Name of Love, U2, Smooth Operator, Sade, Purple Rain, Prince and Prince and the Revolution.
Oh, I'm going to drink.
The Wanderer, Status Quo, Lost in Music, Sister Sledge, Caribbean Queen.
Can you explain what that is then?
We've done it before on the podcast.
No, but what is it?
Well, it's yours and says misheard lyric, Carry Me Free.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
actually Caribbean
song.
Queen by Billy Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Careless Whisper at 26. Agadu is at 31. Apollo 9, Adamant 33. Give Me All Your Loving, ZZ Top. ZZ Top is at 34. A Letter to You, Shaken Stevens at 37. Big in Japan, which is one of my favourite songs from Alphaville. Do, 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 do. I got to do the little dance as well. Blue Jean, David Bowie, and Never Ending Story. They're all in the top 40.
That is one hell of a
hell
week.
Of a chart. Yeah. As I say, that could be the best chart we've had so far.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
We really need to get these into a Spotify album, don't we?
God, can you imagine? Just for that week alone.
Mm.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Terrific.
Brilliant. Terrific.
Oh, that was really good. Sweet. Yeah. We're going to have to listen to some of those later.
Okie cokie.
And in English. We'll have to listen to some of those later. I just started going... blah, 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 blah. Right. We are now rapidly approaching the part in the podcast where Darren has got his challenge. This is your 5-step challenge, Darren.
Yes.
And every week, for those of you just joining us, Darren has a challenge to get from last week's film to this week's film in a set number of steps, starting with 5, then the next week going to 4, 3, 2, 1, etc. So, what was last week's film, Dad?
Last week's film was Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Right, so you have how many steps to get from Little Shop of Horrors to the Terminator?
Two steps.
You have two steps. Can it be done?
Let's find out. So as Matt said, I got two steps this week. And as we know, Rick Moranis was one of the stars of Little Shop of Horrors. So that's where we're going to start this week. Step one. Rick Moranis was in Ghostbusters with Sigourney Weaver. And step number two, Sigourney Weaver was in Aliens with Michael Biehn. Is he saying it? Biehn?
B-Dog.
The Michael the B-Dog.
Michael the B-Dog.
And that is the two-step challenge.
Hey! Woof, woof. Nice. Well done, man.
Yeah, to be fair, that was quite easy.
Yeah, as soon as you went, Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
But also, is there a Bill Paxton way as well, I'm guessing?
Well, Bill Paxton was also in Aliens.
Yeah.
And as was Lars Henriksen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, could have done it in a number of ways.
And, do you know, there's a very funny one step that I stumbled across today.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
No, there's not. Sorry. There's a... Don't worry.
That rendered
don't
that
worry.
Completely pointless.
Yeah, because in my head, I was going, oh, yeah, Weird Sciences last week. But do you know the truck driver dude at the beginning?
Well, also, Bill Paxton was in both.
Yeah, but the truck driver that gets out when Arnie goes and sort of comes in.
Yes.
Yeah. He was in the club.
Was it? Was
at Weird Science.
Oh, okay. Nice. Nice. I didn't clock that. Well, there we go.
So.
Yeah. There we go. That's the two-step challenge.
That was brilliant.
Thank you very much.
One star. What? One star?
One star.
One step.
I know.
Oh, and I know what next week is, so you are in major trouble.
Oh, thanks a freaking bunch. Bring me a freaking boon here. Anyway, I don't know. I'm having half a bottle of WKD. Shut up. Anyway, Terminator then. Initial reaction, I suppose.
Yeah, it's you know what? Terminator is a funny one because I loved Terminator 2 when I was growing up. I saw it 5 times at the cinema. It became my go-to film.
Yep.
I think it was my first or second 15 at the cinema. And I was 13
when T2
came
bad
out.
Bad boy.
So I'd seen the original Terminator, and obviously I'd had to pluck up the courage to, yeah, with his eyeball scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really liked it, but it's not a film I went back to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was lovely going back to this.
Right.
I think it's a real good film and a very creative film. That's where I want to go with it. It's very, very creative.
Very polite.
No, I think because I've learned a lot this week about Terminator, and I think some of the devices and the tricks they use to make this world come to life is just, it's really creative.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed it. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a great, great film. It's really dark. It's really almost oppressive. It's a brilliant, brilliant film. It's very well written. I think there are a few things wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the effects do not hold up particularly well now.
I think more towards the end of the film,
yeah.
Perhaps.
I think what would have been very impressive in 84 now looks a bit hokey. But, I mean, that's maybe unfair. But on the film as a whole, it's still a great, great film.
Yeah, and what I'd say with some of that stuff is, you could see it was... I didn't get pulled out.
No, not at all.
So to speak.
Hooray!
I didn't get pulled out. And it was just... it was nice. Really nice watching it and then just looking into properly. I mean, I knew so much about Terminator 2.
Yeah. I think that I still think out of the two, that is my go to.
Oh, completely.
Two.
Yeah.
I think it's a much better film. I think it's a much more satisfying film. Whereas this is just so dark sometimes.
Yeah. And I think there's the clear budgetary difference between Terminator 1 and Terminator 2.
there certainly is.
And I think because James Cameron was much more of a name when T2 came around, he was given a lot more control, which is...
And technology had moved on a lot more.
Yeah. So. I mean, for me, Cameron's... I know this is initial impressions, but... But for me, Cameron's one of those directors that you just give control to, let him go and do what he does, and then he'll bring you something cool.
It sounds like he demands control, to be fair.
I don't know what you mean. The little pussy cat there.
Yes. Anyway, so that's our initial impressions. Let's crack straight on, shall we?
All right.
Now, long-time listeners will know that at this point in the podcast, in the PCast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the film, and he has as many seconds as the film has minutes. So, Mr. Matthew, how long is the film?
Well, I've done my homework this week. Oh. The film is 1 hour 47.
1:47. So you get 1 minute 47 seconds to give us the synopsis. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Then let's have the jingle. And if you're still ready, go.
We open with a post-apocalyptic vision of the future before coming back to present-day 84, where a Terminator beats the piss out of Bill Paxton and company, takes their clothes, and across town Carl Reese also appears and steals a homeless man's trousers, avoids the police, and ends up dressed to kill, literally. They're both on the hunt for Sarah Connor, who lives a fairly normal life with her roommate, and after hearing on the news about someone with her name being murdered, is freaked out. Her date is cancelled, someone that sounds suspiciously like James Cameron, and she goes out. After hearing a second victim, she contacts the police, who are also looking for her, and leaving a message for her roommate on the answer phone. Alas, the Terminator's just killed her, and here's the message. In the club, the Terminator tries to kill Sarah, but she's protected by Kyle Reese, who on the run tells her she's going to be mother of the leader of the Resistance, who fights a future war with sentient machines. Like the pickup line. In the running, they get arrested, get taken to the station, where the story is explained to the police, who don't really believe him. The Terminator butchers everyone in the station, so they have to make a run for it again. They make it to a motel, where they prepare to fight him, and Sarah calls her mother, who's actually the Terminator, on the other end of the phone. We find out that Reese travelled through time as he fell in love with a picture of Sarah Connor. They then have humanity-saving sexy time. The Terminator makes it to the motel, and a chase ensues. They throw homemade bombs at him, knock him off a bike, and he gets hit by a semi. The Terminator chases him with the semi. Before they blow up the semi, melting the skin off the Terminator. They run to the factory where Reese dies after blowing up the Terminator. Sarah finishes him off by crushing the crawling half of the machine in a press. And the film finishes with a pregnant Sarah ready to face her future and train her son.
Fucking hell. See, even all the semis, the funniest thing was finish him off. Brilliant. Okay. So just remind us, how long was the film?
Not as long as that sum up. 1:47.
1:47. So you have 1 minute 47 seconds to give us the synopsis. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You did it in... Got to be a sign. 1 minute 47.
Oh my God.
1:36. Oh, I know. Wowzers, it's episode 50.
It's episode all coming 50 together. And yeah. I've done it in exactly that. Yeah. Is fantastic. I'll drink to that.
I'll drink to that.
Cheersy. Woohoo. Wow. I think we should just leave it there. It's a perfect episode.
Yep, there you go. 1:47. Bang on. Nice.
But if there ever was a film where sexy time was the most important plot point, it's this.
Yes. Yeah, it's ever. Yeah, but it's all very timey-wimey, as Moffat would.
As we will get into, yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, let's do it then, shall we?
Yeah, let's rip it to shreds.
Yeah. Well, according to the man himself, it all came from a fever dream, didn't it?
He was in Rome?
He'd just been fired from Piranha 2, hadn't he? Wasn't feeling very well.
Bit of a fever dream, and I don't know.
A dream about some weird exoskeleton or whatever it was coming towards him, and used it. Great idea.
Yeah, really, really, really good idea.
Yeah,
and scary as when you dress up like the Terminator.
Yeah, absolutely. But that whole, not trying to jump around too much.
Jump around
at the end of the film when it is just the metallic, that works so well. Really, really well.
I mean, this was, made for 25 quid and a shoestring.
Well, it
was...
I have to put you off on that. 6.4 million, which, to be fair, for this type of film...
It's nothing.
Absolutely fuck all.
I mean, I think Little Shop of Horrors was a bigger budget than that, wasn't it?
I want to say 25 million.
Yeah, because I remember you talking about the budget.
2 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a musical, and this is a sci-fi...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all those big ideas.
So actually, it's not a lot of money.
No.
Especially when you've got to pay Schwarzenegger.
Yes, yeah.
Who was starting to become quite the star, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he wasn't first choice, though, was he? But we'll find that out.
Oh, yes, we will.
Jeez, yeah. Strap yourselves in for that one as well.
There are some just crazy choices.
Crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's such an iconic... I mean, we use that word, I think, probably far too often. But when it comes to things like inventing the phrase, I'll be back...
Yes.
So for that reason, the film goes down as iconic.
I guess there's a lot of shots in the film, though, mm-hmm. that you just have seen over the years. Kyle and Sarah hugging with flames in the background and the Terminator rising out of there.
Yeah.
There's so many shots in the film that have become this... Well, it's part of pop culture, isn't it?
The Terminator. Yeah, absolutely. Cinema history.
You know, we've had six of them.
They've been made, but... Yeah, not according to the big man himself.
All right, so the only slight problem I've got with this is I love my time travel films. Back to the Future, cracking, you know, and a lot of time travel films, the logic works. Was this? I kind of go, right, okay, well, it is very, you know, lots of alternate timelines have to be coming out of this because surely, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I guess the whole point is that even though they've done this, they've set up the future, it's still fucked up. It's still going to happen the way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because of what happens in T2 with the arm being left.
But the arm wouldn't be left if...
If she picked it up and walked away with it, that would have...
But that's the whole thing. It shouldn't have happened in the first place for the Terminator to go back or... Reese to go back.
But because that happens that way, it does.
It's just it's a mind job, isn't
it? Yeah. But that's the sign of a good story, I suppose.
She does say that, doesn't she? Your one could go crazy thinking about this.
Absolutely.
Crazy! Yeah.
Crazy! So yeah, the film idea came out of a fever dream, and he wrote the script along with the other guy whose name's just gone right out of my head.
Is that the guy that cameos?
Yes.
He's the cop.
He's the cop. He bashes his head on the... and they sold it to Gail Ann Hurd, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
For $1 on the proviso that he got to direct it to whichever studio she managed to sell it to, he was going to direct it. And some of the studios didn't want him at all, did they? But I think Paramount were going to take the film but wanted their own director, and they walked away from Paramount. It's quite a brave thing to do.
Yeah, you hear a lot of these stories in the 70s and 80s, don't they? Of like even like Stallone selling Rocky, saying, you know, you can have it, but I want to play Rocky.
Yeah.
And having, because, you know, as a performer myself, and yourself, I mean, I wouldn't walk away from something. If I'd have written something and someone offered me $100,000 for the script to say, but we don't need to play the part, I'd be like, no worries, man. Yeah. Take it. I love the 100,000.
Especially considering, apparently he was sleeping in his car at the time. It would depend on which story you believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was on the bones of his ass, basically, wasn't he? He didn't have much money.
I think he's doing all right now. I haven't checked. But
yeah, I think he's probably fine now.
Did he work again after Terminator?
I can't really think of what you mean. Old James Macaroon. But he's definitely done all right for himself. And they were filming when they were making the film. They weren't bothering to buy licenses or anything. They were turning up at a location, saying, right, there's no one around. Let's get it done now. As the police were turning up, because obviously you need a license to film in a public place. They weren't bothered. Well, obviously, the car chases.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff
that
was.
Endless fucking car chases, but that's another story.
I think it's more after the fact stuff as well, though, wasn't it? Like when Arnie broke into the car.
That was the final shot. They went back and refilmed a bit, didn't they?
There's a bit I wanted to talk to you about that I saw in a documentary.
Right.
It's the final shot we see of the Terminator.
Yeah.
So the hydraulic press has just come down.
Yep.
And you see the eye and the red, mm-hmm. the red of the eye goes out and a bit of the eye falls off.
Yeah.
So that was done using tin foil. They got a bit of two bits of foam, sprayed them silver, a little bit of tin foil, a red eye that they managed to kind of get it to, I don't know, de-light or switch off. Yeah, there we go.
Go out.
And they crushed the tin foil and the red light together.
Nice.
Bit of tinfoil fell off, and there was somebody at the side of the camera with a cigarette.
Yes, I saw that the smoke was a cigarette. Yeah.
I mean, if there's any... That's
fucking saving money, isn't it?
They wanted to go back. They didn't have any money for reshoots and stuff, or not a great deal of money for reshoots. So that's how they did it. And I was like, this is, you know, this is creative, man. That's what I mean about it being... Because I looked at that shot again, and it is... brilliant. You cannot tell.
I didn't notice that at all. But he came up with the phrase guerrilla filmmaking, didn't he? And this is, I guess, an example of guerrilla filmmaking.
At the end as well, the shot of the car going down the road.
Didn't the police turn up?
Yeah.
And they had to convince the guy that they were from UCLA or something.
Yeah, the guy's son, the producer's son was there, and they said, oh, it's a student film for him. And he went, oh, I'll go hold the traffic up the road.
Nice. And that's his dog in the car. James Macaroon's dog. That's Wolfie, apparently.
Oh, is it from T2?
Yeah. Well, no, the dog was called Wolfie.
Oh.
His actual dog was called Wolfie.
Oh, yeah, the dog in T2 is called Wolfie as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
sort of. Oh, yeah, sort of.
He says,
Wolfie and but, Max.
Yeah, Max, yeah. And then they got sued, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Now, who was it? Because it gives sort of...
A guy called Harlan Ellison.
Now, is he the dude that wrote a episode of...
Two episodes of The Outer Limits.
Outer Limits, right, yep.
That apparently, he reckons James Cameron plagiarised them to come up with the idea for the film. Now, I've never seen the episode, so I don't know. James Cameron really does contest it and was very angry that the studio paid him off. They'd settled out of court. And
they just kind of went, oh, it's going to be easier to pay him off.
Exactly. Yeah. And they said, if you want to fight him, you fight him. But if you lose, you have to pay it. And apparently he had fuck all money, so didn't fight it. And, right. and he's hated it to this day.
The fact that it even acknowledges the work.
Or, and it's pretty much there straight away at the very end of the film, isn't it? It's not at the end of the credits, it's there.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be interesting to go back and watch and see if it's. If you can see it.
I get why he's angry, but nobody in their right mind has ever thought about Terminator and thought about this other guy. They think James Cameron or Schwarzenegger.
True. So there we go.
Just going back on what you said about the stuff that doesn't hold up so well now.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we are looking nearly 40 years, aren't we?
Yeah.
So some of the makeup hasn't held up particularly well. I mean, it's still clever, but it does look very.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the fake head. The fake Arnie head really doesn't work now. and it's purely down to the movement. Well, I mean, the whole look of it is hokey. It just doesn't look like flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, the arm works really, really well.
Oh, the arm's terribly freaky, isn't it? Yeah.
But the idea of the eye is still nasty. It just doesn't work as well now. And the movement of the head is so obviously fake.
Mm.
So, I mean, that doesn't work. And for me, the projection stuff, the rear projection stuff, when the...
With the stop motion.
Well, it's not even just the stop motion, it's just the stuff in the future, whether the action's projected behind them onto a screen, that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. The stuff at the very end...
Yeah, the miniatures and
And when she's running away from the miniature truck blowing up at the end, that looks really bad now.
See, I was looking out for that. I don't know, maybe I was just so into it. I didn't clock that so much.
Right,
that one wasn't too bad for me.
I think the problem is because they've projected it and done it pretty much as live, because it's a projection, it just looks washed out.
Right,
I think that's the different grade of the two things together just, for me, really stood out. But, I mean, it's such a small little thing. It almost feels a bit nitpicky to mention it. But
no,
that's what we're here for.
Exactly. I suppose you just didn't have the money to push the envelope. And I guess, give him a bigger budget and that would have been a very different film.
Yeah.
Probably still would have aged a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Terminator 2 is probably aged a little bit when it comes to the CGI and stuff. But, I mean, the makeup work, it gets better between the Terminator films. But they probably learned a lot of important lessons.
Yeah. But I think the main thing about this film is the performances and they work really, and the story.
Yeah, they're all right.
On the whole, but it works very well because he gets what 58 words to say in the whole film.
He's gone by the last act, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Michael B. Dog as well. He was saying that he never shared a screen with Arnie at all, really.
I think they're in one shot, aren't they, in the club together, and that's it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was originally conceived as a horror, and he still looks at it as a horror film rather than sci-fi, doesn't he? Because it's very much sort of in the same vein as Halloween.
Well,
an unstoppable force pursuing a young girl, basically. But the test audiences loved it more and saw it more as a sci-fi. So, yeah, we're in LA. It makes a change, though, to not be Chicago. We seem to have been in Chicago a lot in a lot of these films.
And it makes a change to actually be in the 80s.
Yeah, yes, rather than in the 50s.
Yeah.
Or, well, most of it's in the 80s. So, some 8 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
Oh, fuck. It's a tight film. You know, it comes in at 147, so I know that's over budget for you.
Yeah, I think if they cut out some of the car chases, or cut them down a bit.
Yeah.
But I never noticed that before. Watching it last night, I was like, fucking hell, another car chase. It's gone on so fucking long. So I found that a bit, right, enough. I mean, the rest of it is very dramatic and it flows very well.
Enough now, damn you.
Yes. Oh, here we go, a third car chase.
Yeah, I don't know, it's... As much as we'll, take apart some of the special effects and makeup of the car chases, it's a terrifying film. I mean, I was very young when I watched this, Daz.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 11, probably. Right. An 11-year-old shouldn't be watching this, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's one of those films you watch with your friends as well to kind of go, right, come on, watch in a minute. This bit where he takes his eye out. This bit where he takes his eye out. And, it's got fond memories for me because of that. But just analysing it as a piece of filmmaking, I was watching it going, James Cameron, you're a bloody genius.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, should we have a little break and then come back and have a look at the cast?
Yep. I'll just say that, folks, we'll be back.
I had to do it.
Top five.
So organised, yeah.
Yeah.
This month's special Patreon episode is available now.
I'm happy to go first if you like.
Okie dokie.
All right, so my top five, it's interesting. So the first one, I wasn't
I think we'll be the judge of that.
Yes. Nice. Making your way,
the only way they know how. My number five is the landlord of the Queen Vic, Dirty Den Watts.
And Zelda.
Nice.
Oh my God, she scared the living pants out of me. Yeah. It's like they took the grandmother of Freddy Krueger, made her into a puppet form, and went, yeah, kids will love this.
Yeah, she was a looker, wasn't she? Top five TV villains of the 80s, obviously, and that's why you're here. But she was nasty. When she first appeared, she put a load of fiberglass down somebody's back.
He fucked Kit up.
Was this the bad car?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I do remember this.
He was called Carr.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was the original. He was the prototype.
Superb. She was absolutely terrifying. But it's just that sexy villainess thing.
Okay.
And I love her.
So I went to the dentist one time, and I was a very good boy at the dentist, and my
did
mother
you get a
asked,
lollipop.
No, well, not just lollipop. Mum said, "Do you want a toy?" And I said, "Yes, please." Yeah. So she bought me the Eye of Thundera, the Thundercats.
I can't really say anything other than my number three is the Master from Doctor Who.
Lovely.
I know it's obvious, big, and I apologise for all that. But
he's married to a bitch. He drives a big white car.
Yeah.
He lives in a palace at the other side of Dallas, and they all know his name, JR.
Nice. Yeah. All 80s Adventure Patreon special episodes are available via subscription from the website patreon.com/80sadventure, or check out 80sadventure.co.uk for further details.
And we're back. Part two of episode 50.
I know. I can't believe it.
That's crazy. I know. I keep saying it. But because it is episode 50, you know, on its way. So regular listeners will know that on every 10 episodes, we tend to open a little bottle of Prosecco to celebrate. Oh, and we've got some vodka Red Bull as well, because we were talking about it, and why not? So are you ready for a little bit of Prosecco?
Oh, okay then. Since it's episode 50.
Ooh. That really isn't a sound effect. That is. There we go. Pint of Prosecco.
Kin hell. As they say in the doodoin.
Oh, dearie my.
Good night, Vienna.
Sorry about the quiz, folks. Right, Booty, so this is...
Well, cheersy then.
Yeah.
Here's to another 50.
Here's to another 50.
Woohoo!
Is it nice? Yeah.
Oh, that's bitey.
Right, okay, so I'm going to try a bit. Yeah, that's a bit bitey. I might wash it down with some vodka Red Bull.
That's a strong one as well.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, just... Yeah, well, you got a couple of cans, didn't you? Unfortunately, they were two different cans. We've used one can. I didn't realise they were two different cans. So I did a normal level of vodka.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we can't actually fill up the pint glass with the rest of the Red Bull or Red Bull equivalent. So it's a very, very strong body.
Other brands are available.
Yes.
So the cast then, buddy.
Yeah, they're all right, aren't they?
Yeah, they're good. I've got some alternate casting. I'm sure you've read about, Matt. So, so chip in whenever you like. So obviously there was the O.J. Simpson casting.
I think the lines in one of the films or in one of the documentaries or one of the pieces of text that I read about it was that they didn't think he was believable as a cold-blooded killer.
Yes, yeah.
And we'll leave that one there.
So wasn't the original one cast as the Terminator Lance Hendrickson?
Yes, I think so.
So by all accounts from what I heard, he was cast and he was brought in to meet with studio executives and stuff, and he behaved as the Terminator, yeah. sat in reception and scared the piss out of the receptionist yeah. and things like that. I mean, he's a great performer.
He is. I have reservations about him as a person, I think, from the two documentaries I've seen about him.
Oh, yeah.
He does come across as a little bit of...
bit intense.
Yes, that's probably the least litigious way of putting it. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Check him out. There's plenty of documentaries on YouTube. And
other stream services are available.
Well, they are officially, yeah. But I mean, a lot of the cast that we're going to talk about, we won't go into too much depth because they were in Aliens and we've covered Aliens already. So we've uh-huh. already really discussed them there as turns.
Do you have any more Terminators?
Not that I remember, no.
So Arnie was approached to play Carl Reese, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. I think Cameron was ready to go and have a really bad lunch with Arnie.
Because he didn't want him.
He didn't want him to play Reese. Yeah. And he was like, no, I like the part of the Terminator. He was like, oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. But also, he almost fucked it completely, didn't he? He was filming Conan.
Oh, yeah.
I was being interviewed. And they said, yeah, well, basically, what are you doing next? So he was wearing a pair of shoes or something to try and wear them in for the film. Something like that. And said, well, why are you wearing them? He said, because I'm doing this really shit movie. It's going to take a couple of weeks. Talking about Terminator.
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. But he has since taken that back and said he was absolutely wrong. And even like just watching rushes and stuff, he went, oh, we're doing something really special here.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And they pushed back filming 9 months for him.
Yeah, because of Conan. He was already contracted to that. Yeah.
So I heard the story that they were going to do Conan. Since they found out Arnie was going to do the Terminator... No, we're going to put this one into production now then, or something. I mean, there's so many stories, isn't there?
Exactly.
Just quickly, there's... So apparently Bridget Fonda was the original choice for Sarah Connor.
I think you say Terminator.
And then Tatum O'Neill, there was Kate Capshaw, that name was thrown into the mix. Lots and lots of names.
So many.
Linda Hamilton, but then she twisted her ankle.
Or broke her ankle, depending on what you read or watch. Yeah.
So let's just say there was a lot. Should we just leave it there? There's a lot of alternate castings.
And it's all freely available online if you have a look. There's probably about 20 or 30 that were originally thrown into the ring as alternative castings.
Schwarzenegger, we have talked about.
A few times.
In this role, though.
It's probably good that he doesn't have to say very much. It just has to look.
It's very physical.
Yeah, just look menacing. Because obviously it's very, very early in his acting career. Mm. But he's great. He's very good. He's a perfect fit for the machine, if you like.
It's striking how scary he is when he's... Yeah. I think particularly the police station.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's just going through and just mowing down people.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few moments that I think maybe he should have been a bit more static.
Yeah, there were a couple moments where he did this little like jig.
Yeah, he's a bit too human, a bit too sort of panicky. Where I think he should be much more machine-like, methodical, and not as human.
Which I think he achieved in the second one, and subsequent ones after that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and maybe that's why, because he is. It's so much more sort of focused, if you like. I don't mean completely because he is focused, but you know what I mean. So maybe that's why so it stands out a little bit more in this one.
Okay. Michael B. Dog. So it's either Ben or Bean, isn't it? I think it's Bean.
Yeah, MB. Mike E. B. He's great. First things says to me last night, I had such a crush on him.
Well, it's easy to see why, isn't it? So he almost blew his audition.
Yes, he was auditioning for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Something like that. He came in and they said, we didn't want somebody with such a southern accent.
Yeah, such a strong... Because he, obviously, in character for the audition, he didn't get the part either, did he? So they called him back, said, lose the southern accent, and pretty much walked away with the part there and then.
Yeah.
And you can see why. He's very, very good.
But it does work, because I was in my head thinking about the alternate casting while watching this. And I thought, well... You're having Arnie as the big action hero that falls in love with Sarah Connor, and then Lance Hendrickson as the Terminator.
That was really camp.
It just would have been a heck of a different film, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Lance Hendrickson is much more sort of almost snake-like.
Mm.
So he that probably would have been more of the going down the horror story route.
Yeah, and also Arnie looks like he would be able to take on a machine.
Yeah,
so it's quite nice to have the action hero being, you know, Michael that doesn't look like he can take on a machine,
exactly.
And he's, you know, looking up at Arnie. There's a heck of a difference between those two. So,
and coming back from the future, it's fantastic that they styled his hair in a 1984 fashion.
Didn't he look so 80s in this?
But why is she laying a guy? He's wearing a smelly tramp's pants.
Not just that. Obviously, the tramp had great fashion, because if you look at the He is so well styled. He's got some nice Nikes on. He's got
yes. But why didn't he change his trousers when he was stealing all the other clothes?
Oh well, you know,
those trousers must have been fucking stinky.
Well, he's not wearing underpants either, is he?
Stinky.
So then he must have got a t-shirt from somewhere. But the t-shirt is—he does look the epitome of the 80s, doesn't
he? Absolutely. And he looks fantastic with his beautiful
hair. He's out
of
the Ice House Crazy video.
Yes, he is. Crazy. That's about three mentions they've had tonight. Oh, they're paying us.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He looks brilliantly 80s to the point where I want to get those trousers. No, not those ones. Then top off the trio, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know, the incredible Linda Hamilton.
Yes, yeah. Who's 27 at the time, playing an 18-year-old / 19-year-old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't believe the age thing, but she is superb. She plays parts. She's so vulnerable. She has, I know it's a fucking X Factor thing to say, she has such a journey throughout this film. I fucking hate that phrase. But, you know, for this, her character development is massive. She starts off as this weak, not weak, but, you know, just an ordinary girl, an ordinary person, who then, you know, sees all of her family and friends wiped out.
Mm-hmm. With the potential of all of humanity being wiped
exactly.
out.
Exactly. You know, she's told that she's going to get pregnant with somebody who's going to try and save humanity. The world's fucked.
I mean, she did believe that a little bit quickly, though.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you need that for the story to move forward, but I was like, okay, she's being told by this guy, this crazy guy.
Exactly. But then she has to see a guy, you know, take God knows how many bullets in the chest.
Kevlar. That's why, Dad. Kevlar.
Is it? Yeah, okay.
No, but you need her to believe quickly. Mm. Otherwise, you're looking at 2.5-hour epic, which you don't know. I don't believe you. And I think that journey is evidence when we get to the sequel, isn't it? That's a real payoff when you see what she's become from Terminator 1.
Yeah, and she obviously enjoys playing the role because she put in so much frigging work on it.
Didn't she ever? She was amazing.
Yeah.
This could have been a part that was screamy and running away, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's amazing. She's just really good.
She really does become a badass.
Yeah.
A great performance. And again, nice to see a strong female lead. She doesn't start strong, but the character development, you know, she grows into that character. It's fantastic.
That's one thing I'll say about James Cameron. I was almost said macaroon then, because you always call him
that. Good old Francis Saunders.
He does, from his very, not his debut, which is Piranha 2 or something, but which I can't attest to have seen.
Some of Piranha 2.
Okay. But he's always got, you know, he's always had strong female leads.
Hmm.
Great. Okay.
Well, Kate Winslet, she's a strong female lead.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver.
I can't really say that's his, though, is it? Because she was there.
But that still is a film of his.
Yeah.
He's just great. I love James Cameron.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely worth his weight in gold, isn't he?
Yeah, he's worth everybody's weight in gold, I think. We can quickly touch on some of the supports, if you like.
Well, yeah, Paul Winfield as Traxler, the...
I mean, what a name.
Traxler. the policeman who sort of believes, whereas all the others are taking the piss and playing along with Carl Reese.
I mean, he's got no choice but to believe at the end, is he?
Well, yeah, at his end. But whilst they're all taking the piss watching the video, he is the one who sort of... Well, even when he's watching the interview, isn't he? He tells Vukovic to shut up.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because he is... I don't know, maybe he's taken in, or maybe just completely flummoxed by it all. But
can I just say, this is something, if you've listened to our episode on Airplane, the police station was like Lloyd Bridges in Airplane. Everyone was smoking all the bloody time. They were putting cigarettes out in cups of coffee. They were lighting up other
ones. And almost lit up another one. Yeah. Two fags on the go.
Did you think of that as well?
I didn't, but I have now.
I had Lloyd Bridges in my head. I was like, oh, it's a bit like...
Nice.
I chose the wrong reek to go... I chose the wrong week to give up smoking. So the cops, they were...
They're in for a little while, and then they're out. They're gone.
Also, though, I mean, that was crazy. When she rings up, this is the emergency services, all our lines are busy, right? I'm like, really?
Oh, wow. Thanks a fucking bunch.
Yeah.
But also, they're a little bit ineffectual, really. You know, if two out of the three Sarah Connors have now been murdered in the same day, you don't just send a guy over to the house and then he fucks off again.
Yes.
Surely you wait there, or you do a bit more to try and find her. Rather than just...
Yeah, look, I've sent a guy and I've made a phone call. We'll call it again. Really? I've just called. We'll call again. This is a woman's life in danger.
For God's sake.
And there was a line, I think, something about, this coffee tastes so... I was like, yeah, put a cigarette out in it. I'm like, okay.
And apparently there is a deleted scene of him giving his gun to Sarah and Kyle. That's how they end up with it when they're at the motel.
With the revolver. Yeah. Right, okay. Also, how much fucking were Ginger and Matt doing to not hear a policeman at the door? I mean, I know she's got headphones on the entire time.
He's in the zone, isn't he?
Well, of course he is. Yeah, well, what I want to do is...
Yeah, Rick Rossovich, who was in... The three of them are in another... is it Navy SEAL, something like that, they're in together?
Oh, that rings a bell.
I think it's him and Michael...
B-Dog.
And Punk at the beginning.
Oh, Paxton.
Paxton, yeah, I think the three of them are in
it. I know Charlie Sheen's in Navy SEAL.
Right, but he's not in this.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
I know that much.
James Cameron is, though.
His voice, yeah. Yeah, twice.
He's the date that cancels,
yes,
isn't he?
Yeah, and he's also the motel owner that you don't see.
Oh, right, I'll be a minute, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, guerrilla filmmaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how would you say Ginger's name? Bess Motta?
Yes. What? That's how I would say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got the best motto.
Hey!
No, it's best motto.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. She's great. A really nice, fun character.
Yeah.
That you sort of identify with. I don't think you get to know it well enough.
You know you're going to lose her pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. She's fodder for the Terminator.
But, yeah.
She's a good, fun character. And I just hope they save that iguana, you know. Poor old Pugsy. Got to save him. Got to save him.
That's one of the questions, Scott.
Actually, it's one of mine as well. Shit. But no, she's great. And her boyfriend, Matt, as I said, Rick Rossovich. They're fine. They're that sort of, you know, in a horror film, that once you turn up, have sex, and then get killed.
Yes. And in fact, Reese got killed for having sex. So
yeah.
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 I don't want to make you sad, but...
Yeah.
Pugsy wasn't in Terminator 2, so I can only assume that
maybe
he went off to live on a farm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she's wearing that belt after all. I used to have an iguana.
I know you did. What was it called?
Dippy. Because he looked a bit like a dinosaur.
Oh.
Yeah. And he shat on my ex-girlfriend's head.
Right. Well, there we are. Anything? Well, there's Silberman to talk about because I don't think he's going to feature in a lot of other films that we talk about.
He's a slimy little fucker, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's worse in the second film. But this film, this film is where you see he's just so, he doesn't want to be there. He's been dragged out of bed.
Yeah,
he's
exactly, like yawning. Yeah, taking the piss. But and I think he just sees sort of, well, this is brilliant. We can cash in on this. I think that's what he's thinking about when he finally fucking wakes up.
Yeah, but, probably gets paid a lot of money to be brought in late at night to exam.
Exactly.
So he'll do it.
Yeah, that's it really, isn't it?
That is really it. I mean, I did look at the future Terminator, and I'm guessing he is either Arnie's stunt double or something like that.
Oh, yes. Wasn't he a bodybuilder as well?
And that's right.
They were really good friends.
He's in a lot of Arnie films. That's why I kind of assume stunt double.
But just, Columbo.
Yeah, I'm just IMDBing him. And he was in, as the future Terminator, he was in Conan. He was also in Running Man. So I was like, hang on a second. That's a lot of Arnie films.
Yeah, I remember reading that he was another champion bodybuilder person, guy, whatever. I don't know what the title is.
Mm.
And they were very good friends. So I guess a little bit of, he's my friend, he's good.
Well, yeah, but also I wanted to stop and look at it just because I didn't know whether they'd identified the lore that much in Terminator 1 as to whether they'd have had Arnie as the Terminator going in but looking slightly different, maybe with different hairstyle or something.
Okay.
You know, because that model or whatever else keeps looking like that. So I wanted to have a look. But it was a little bit blurry because I think they filmed the future stuff in a bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of smoke in that scene. Yes. And very, very dark.
Of course, it's somebody just off camera with a cigarette. Right?
That was us back in the day.
Yeah. So that really is the cast.
Yep. Obviously, as we said, there's a lot of sort of secondary characters. That annoying cow bag in the restaurant. He says, "In 100 years, who's going to be shit?" Or whatever the line is.
Right.
I found her quite annoying.
I thought that was Ginger.
I don't know. Actually,
we do our homework.
And obviously, Mr. Fudderman from Gremlins. He's the guy in the gun shop.
Oh, bless him. He always gets a little bit done over, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yeah, but there we go. That's pretty much the cast.
Well, shall we have a quick break and then we'll be back?
Yeah, nice.
Sorry.
You can do it every time,
sorry,
aren't you?
Sorry.
Oh,
What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back.
Yeah, episode 50. What?
Wow, what's more we're feeling?
It is, though. I'm in shock that we got this far.
I know.
I mean, I was shocked when we got to episode 5.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, hang on, you're out of Prosecco.
Oh, you're not.
I'm not, hang on.
Yeah. That's outrageous, listener.
Listener? Okay, here we go, more Prosecco. Or
don't forget, you can buy us more Prosecco by going to Ko-Fi.
Yes, ko-fi.com/80sadventure. All right, you stay in charge of that now.
Okay.
Yes. 50, yes. Man, that's crazy.
And as usual at this point in the podcast, we're going to talk about the music.
Yeah.
Which is, it's all right.
Okay.
It's not the best score I've ever heard. It's written by a guy called Brad Fidel or Fidel.
See, I've always said Fidel.
Yeah, me too. Worked with James McAroon a lot. He did obviously Terminator 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
He's also done things like Fright Night, Fright Night 2, Serpent and Rainbow, Blue Steel, True Lies, Johnny Mnemonic. And he was also a keyboard player for Hall & Oates.
Was he?
Yeah.
He seems like a really nice chap, actually.
Yeah. He's very keen on the documentary that I watched as well. I think for this, it's a little bit limited.
Though it was implied on the documentary that I watched that...
Yeah.
Budget was a little bit tight.
Yeah, I was going to say there was fuck all money.
Yeah,
I think it's Gail Ann Hurd, one of the producers.
Yeah,
and also did a little bit of the script as well. Said that the budget's always restricted for the composer, but this was like there was fuck all money left. So I sort of understand why, but what there is very, it's a bit repetitive, but it's perfect for the film. It's percussive. It's got that repeating. It's got almost a heartbeat. And it's oppressive. It's scary. It's exactly what it should be. It's for me. It's very akin to again going back to something like Halloween or Assault on Precinct 13, which was John Carpenter, who also he directed and wrote the score. So it has that sort of feel to it. It's which he wanted to put in at the point where they walk out the police station, was it?
Yeah, like a hero moment.
And Macaroon said...
James Cameron.
I like Macaroon, it makes me laugh. he said, no way, get rid of it. I'm not having that. It's too much. For a start, it's setting up what's going to happen. And also, it's just not appropriate. And I totally agree. So it goes back to that sort of that percussive, repetitive beat. So like I said, the score is very, very good. I just would have liked a little bit more variety, but I understand why.
So I bought the Terminator 2 soundtrack, and the Terminator theme is one of the only things I can play on the piano.
Well, there you go. Okay. Yeah. There are some other songs.
That's my contribution to the music section.
Thank you. Yeah. As I say, there's some other songs in there as well, but they're sort of mainly background songs in the club and things like that. So
cracking 80s song in the club.
Somebody said, and I'm not sure if it's like some sort of wind-up, stitch-up thing, that Kim Wilde is in there somewhere, but I couldn't find it. I don't know if that was like an in-joke or something. But anyway, there are songs in there from a group called Triangles.
Right.
And 16mm, Lynn Van Heck. Yes, I'm not familiar with them at all. But there's a song there from Grandmaster Melly Mel and the Furious Five. I think he worked with Grandmaster Flash on What Lives.
Oh, right, okay.
The score is fine, I haven't really got much more to add than that.
No, it's for me, I guess growing up, I thought it was a biggie because it was Terminator. But I think given what he had to do in the the budget constraints and the time he had to do, I think he did a bloody good job.
Yeah. I mean, there's no instruments at all. It's all done on keys. It's all computer created. So it has that very 80s feel, which is perfect because it's a very 80s look.
Yeah. And so do you think the film might have... I mean, I'm not saying the film's aged badly, but do you think with an orchestra, things might have aged better?
No,
or do you think it'd be better with the synth?
I just think that a few more variations of themes, for me, but in the same style, would have been a bit more satisfying. But again, it's just a very, very small point. What is there is very, very good.
Yeah.
And because it looks so 80s, it sounds so 80s.
It gets a real upgrade in the second one, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, everything does, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the song in the club. What was it called again?
Burning in the Third Degree.
Yeah, I like that song.
Right. I didn't really take much notice of it, to be honest, because it was just background.
Oh, I did, because I watched the club 12 times today to notice every single detail.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
No, it's it. But I did. I clocked it. I was like, do you know what? That's an 80s gem that I think if we take it out of the club and onto our speakers.
Okay. Well, it's performed by a group called Triangles, but TRYANGLZ.
That's not a Bangles ripoff whatsoever.
They could do with buying a few more vowels there as well. What, are they Welsh? God damn it.
Right, well, that is the music then.
Yeah.
It's not a lot to talk about, really, in the music.
No, exactly. Like
less than I thought.
But in this sort of in respect, less is more, but I would have liked it just a little bit more.
So I guess we should end the podcast there then.
Yeah. No, because I'm really excited for what might happen.
Come
back to me in 10 minutes. I might be gutted, but...
I'm not excited for what's about to come.
Well, let's find out what is about to come. Eyes down for a full house. Now, long-time listeners will know that at this point in the podcast, we have a quiz. We quiz each other with three questions each. Whoever wins each week obviously gets a point. And at the end of every 10 episodes, whoever has the most point over those 10 episodes wins. And so far, in the first lot of four, I've won every single one, haven't I? Not every single week.
Not every single week, but yeah, every single... It's come down to the wire quite a few times, but I've never managed to finish.
Hey! And now, for our 50th episode, Matt has 5 and I have 4. So then the most I can hope for this week is a tie, which means we go into uncharted territory. And I'm really excited about what might happen. Obviously, if Matt wins this week, it's 6-4. He wins his first block of 10. I don't want that to happen.
I love the way it's put first block of 10 in.
Oh, I can't phrase it any other way.
It's true.
Obviously, I don't want that to happen.
Bless the little boy. He won his first block of 10 in a year.
Bless him. Bless him.
I mean, it still means you won the year completely.
Yeah, well, duh. But as I say...
That's right. 2022 is my year.
Get her. Anyway, I'm excited because if I do win, then we go into a tiebreak situation.
Well, hopefully we won't get that point. Hopefully.
Matt obviously hopes we don't get to that point. I'm excited because I want it to happen. But we've got a little bit of work to do before we get there. Anyway, so...
Oh, no. I've got pages of notes here.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to look at them when I'm asking.
No, I'm not, but I'm allowed to choose.
Not like you cheated on fucking Little Shop of Horrors.
I've never cheated. I swear, if I'd have cheated...
Listener, all I can say is when I asked the question, he was staring at his screen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You make your own mind up. Anyway.
I promise I wasn't cheating. I'm too honest for that.
He's still looking at his fucking screen now.
Yes, because I'm asking the first bloody question. Am I not?
Not an even numbered episode.
This isn't. Oh, yeah, for God's sake.
We've only done 50. Jeebus.
I thought it was 49 for a second. And I know you just said episode 50.
Anyway.
Go on then.
So. Being an even-numbered episode, I get to ask the... Oh, he's having a little drop.
I've just put my laptop down to give him eye contact.
I can't see, you know, it's all dark. Right, being an even-numbered... Fucking hell, this is going on. Being an even-numbered episode, I ask the first question.
Prosecco, Prosecco.
Question number one.
Yeah.
What's the name of the aircraft in the opening scene?
The aircraft, I guess they're HKs?
I need the name.
Hunter Killer.
No. It's called something else.
Is it?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, it's a Hunter Killer Aerial.
That was pretty close, though.
It's pretty close, but
it was
not
pretty
close.
Okay, then. Question number uno.
Yeah.
At least you haven't gone Mexican this week.
There's time.
Who was Sarah's date?
I can't remember. Joe Porsche.
I mean, he drove a Porsche, yeah, but it was Stan Morsky.
Oh, okay. Well, one to you then.
I mean, I might have given you a point for Porsche if you'd have...
well, then we're even anyway. Then.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. How many appliances are plugged into the sockets in Sarah's bathroom?
I don't know. I'm going to have to take a punt at that one. Three?
Six. Two lots of three.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going that one. Okay.
I have to. I want to win. I want to take this to the wire.
Okay. No problem. No problem. I can't.
Well, don't then.
Okay. Where does her mum live?
In a cabin.
Yep. So there's an address that is given out.
I don't know.
It's 181 Spruce Lane.
Okay.
And it was just in Big Bear where they said...
Is that not Batman?
No, Bruce... Spruce Lane. Yeah, because they said your mum's coming from Big Bear and then later on the Terminator looks at...
Okay.
Spruce Lane. Spruce Lane. I like that, though. That's a really good way of remembering it.
Yeah. I wish I... Yeah.
Forever I will remember Spruce Lane.
Right. The eyes are going now. Where's my bins?
Oh, where's my bins?
Yep. Where's my bins? What three gun manufacturers are listed above the gun shop door?
Wow, you have really been a git this week, haven't
you? I'm really excited about taking it to the wire. I really want to see how it goes.
I'm not sure I could name three gun manufacturers.
No, I can add to look them
do,
up
do
as
you know
well.
What I mean? Colt. Is that one of them? Well, I can only get three. If I'm going to name three, is Colt one of them?
Might be.
Okay, so then Colt... I mean, I'm starting to think of razor blade blands.
Blands.
I'm thinking of Remington now, Colt Remington. I don't know. I have to pass. I don't know.
Okay. Colt, Ruger, and Winchester.
I'd heard of Winchester. I wouldn't have heard of Ruger.
No, me neither. I had to look them up and make sure that I was asking the right question.
Okay.
By matching their logos.
That's fine. Okay. If we're going like that.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, then what's Reese's number? His
DN38416.
Yep, that's great, but
oh fuck you.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Woohoo!
I'll give you that.
Well, because it's the right answer.
Well, yeah, but
damn you. That's it. That's 4-2.
No, have you won already?
Yeah. That was three questions each.
Shit, that was a bit anticlimactic, wasn't it?
No, because it means we do quite progress. Wowzers.
Wow, which ones did you get right then?
Well, just that one. I got all of mine.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, 4-2.
Bugger. Wow. I had some fucking doozies on that as well.
Well, save them for after the biggie.
But saying that, respect for getting Reese's number.
Yeah. It's
absolute respect.
I knew. I didn't think you'd go for it because I thought it was going to be too obvious, but I'm glad you did.
Mm.
Right then. Woo-hoo-hoo! This is going to be exciting. I am really stupidly excited about this.
Great.
Right, so as we know, it has come down to a tie. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Yeah.
So therefore, the way this is going to work out, I am going to read 10 questions. Matt will have 10 seconds to answer. If he gives an answer... Great. We have to accept each other's first answer. That's it. If it doesn't give an answer in 10 seconds, the next question comes out automatically. And then after both lots of questions have been asked, we'll find out who, if anyone, has scored any points.
So what happens if we draw on this, Daz? Do we just call it a draw?
I think we call it a draw.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
it's a two-hour podcast.
And we definitely won't get any takeaway.
Excuse me.
Are you ready?
Hang on. Can I have a quick sip of Red Bull to get me all fired up?
Fired up, baby.
Okay. Ugh. I'm ready.
Okay, close your laptop screen.
With my questions on it.
They might be the same questions.
Oh, they might be, yeah.
Anyway, are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, this is... We need a big do-do-do-do-do-do-do thing for this, don't we?
All right, then. And as if by the magic of the internet...
Right, then. I'm really nervous. Right. 41, Flash Gordon. Which airline do Flash and Dale fly with?
Western. Yeah?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, Western.
Okay. Labyrinth 42. What does Hoggle say Sarah's problem is?
She has got big boobies.
Over the top. What academy does Michael graduate from?
West Point.
Romancing the Stone. What is the name of Joan's cat?
Mr. Tickles.
The Fly. What's the name of the company funding Brundle's research?
Cyberdyne.
Airplane. What's the name of the heart transplant girl?
Julie.
Dirty Dancing. What's the names of the couple who are stealing the wallets?
The Schumachers.
The full names.
Something in Leslie Schumacher. No, Sydney and Sandra. Oh, fuck.
Weird Science. Where have Wyatt's parents gone for the weekend?
To visit his sister.
Where?
Pittsburgh.
Little Shop of Horrors. What's the time when Seymour sees Audrey talking to the police?
Fucker. Half seven.
And finally, Terminator. What is the name of the shop next door to the gun shop?
7-Eleven.
Okay.
Fucking hell.
Right.
That's weird jumping through the films every week.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I know I was close on Dirty Dancing, Sydney and somebody Schumacher, but I know Sydney, but I was definitely wrong on the second bit.
Well, there we go. Okay.
I don't think I've got one right. If that.
We'll find out in a minute.
Oh, I thought you were going to say correct as we go. Right, okay. Okay, then. Fucking hell.
That's a lot of pressure reading them out as well.
It is. Okay. So do you want me just to move on to the next question after 10 seconds if you haven't answered, yeah?
If I answer, then move on, is what I did. But if you get to 10 seconds and I haven't answered, then move straight on.
Okay. All right. Are you ready for your questions?
No.
Should we... Right. Question number one, Flash Gordon. What article of Ming's Law does Tim quote?
Never give a blowjob in zero gravity.
What Labyrinth, what was Sarah's mother's stage name?
Sarah Connor.
What is... over the top, sorry. What is on Hawk's hat?
Sea oil. No.
And Romancing the Stone, question number four. What book does Juan hand Michael Douglas in the house?
Oh, fuck. Fight the Power.
Where did they... in The Fly, where does Seth suggest they could possibly go for a holiday?
Florida.
Airplane, question six. Where was he stationed in the war?
Drambuie.
Question seven. Dirty Dancing. How far away is the Sheldrake in minutes?
20.
Question number eight. Weird Science. What does the poster say behind Wyatt's bed?
Wave to the future.
Question number nine. Little Shop. What is the make of the clock?
I remember this from editing yesterday. all I've got is what I gave then. Argos.
Okay, and question number 10. What first name does the person have above Sarah Connor?
Bob. No idea.
There we are.
Wow.
Okay, I mean, not to be pessimistic, but I think you have won because I think you got a lot more right answers. Do you know what? I felt like I was being flippant when you were asking the questions, but it's not that I was being flippant. It's just because I didn't know and I just wanted to give an answer.
There's just so much pressure. I didn't realise how much... I mean, I thought the pressure of reading it out was bad enough.
Yes, but then answering it, you're like...
I don't fucking know.
You cast your mind back.
It was a cap in Over the Top, because I remember... No, it's gone. No idea.
And as soon as you hear it, you'll be like, of course.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's find out then. So my first question to you was, which airline do Flash and Dale fly with? You said...
Western... it was something else. Like, yeah.
Green Mountain.
Right, okay, so it wasn't Western then, okay.
So that's a no. Labyrinth, what does Hoggle say Sarah's problem is?
Yeah, I
nothing to do with the boobs.
No.
She takes everything for granted.
Yeah.
Over the Top, what academy does Michael graduate from?
It's not West Point, I know it's not.
It's Summit Crest.
Yeah. I would have known that weeks ago.
Romancing the Stone, what's the name of Joan's cat?
Mr. Pickle.
It was Romeo.
Oh, of course it was.
I think that was your reaction last time as well. The Fly, what's the name of the company funding Brundle's research? It's Bartok Industries.
Yeah, not Cyberdyne. Right.
No. Airplane, what's the name of the heart transplant girl? Lisa Davis.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing. I will give you this one.
Thank you.
What's the name of the couple who are stealing the wallets?
It's the Schumachers, but Sydney and somebody. Shirley?
Sylvia.
Sylvia.
So, yeah, I'll give you that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where have White's parents gone for the weekend?
I said Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Okay.
Little Show of Horrors, what's the time when Seymour sees Audrey talking to the police?
See, you asked me this.
I know, yeah.
And so I said 7:30, but now
I think you said
it's...
that again on the actual podcast.
I think it's 10 past 7.
It's 5 past 7. this one was unfair, but it's one of those questions. What shop is next door to the gun shop? And I looked it up. It's still there. Artcraft Taxidermy.
It was there, yeah?
It's there, and it's still there now. It still exists. So you scored 1.
So you had what article of law does Tim quote, and you said...
don't give a blowjob in zero gravity.
Yeah, it was 17.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sarah's mother's stage name?
Sarah Connor.
Linda Williams.
Okay. Not Linda Hamilton. Yeah, how funny would that have been?
What was on Hawk's hat?
It was like a red wing or something. Oh, I really can't remember.
Bonio.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, dick one.
All right, the book that won hands Michael Douglas.
Not Fight the Power, I'm guessing.
Love's Wicked Kiss. When they suggest they go to holiday.
Florida. Yep,
so you got that right. So at the moment, we're even.
Even Stevens. Where's this going to go?
And then I asked the airplane question. Where was he stationed in the war?
Drambuie.
Yep, so you now win. Woo-hoo! With and the Sheldrake is 20 minutes away.
Yeah, I don't know why I remembered that.
You didn't first time, so I was hoping.
No.
I use this as an exercise to sort of retest you. And then the poster behind Wyatt's bed, you said...
It's something like Wave to the Future.
It's Wave of the Future.
Okay, Mr. fucking Picky.
Do you know what? I would give you that.
Well, you know, I'll just take your...
Have it.
Shirley away.
Little Shop. Was Telcron.
The
maker of the clock was Telcron.
Yes.
And the first name was Richard. And the name below all the Sarah Connors was Tom.
Okay. Dick and Tom.
Questions that I thought you would have actually looked at. I thought he's bound to have looked at the phone book, isn't he?
But only at those. And how much the addresses in the phone book are completely different to the addresses on the screen.
Oh, aren't they?
Yeah. Wow. So I got 3 then, is that what we're saying?
You got 3, I got 1.
Does that mean I won the...
Yep, you won again.
I quite like doing it that way.
That's great.
You're not convinced, are you?
I fucking hate you.
What? Hey, that was it. Even Stevens equal blah, 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 blah. It could have gone either way.
Yeah, now I know how your wife feels with you always winning.
Sorry, say that again. With me always what?
Coming first.
Hey! Too shame, motherfucker. Anyway, so that means I win this block of 10.
Yes, yes. Because you won every last block of 10 and every block of 10 in the future.
Well, you know, some of us are film fans, Matt.
Oh, really?
Some of us like the 80s and some of us don't. That's all I'm saying.
As he puts on his glasses.
Yeah. Some of us are nearly in our 80s. Anyway, any other questions? Let's go back to that point. Or do you just want to move on?
Have we got another 40 minutes? No, okay. So there was obviously... Now, I wanted to ask about when they arrived.
Yes, because there is a real...
It's not a discrepancy, though.
It is, though.
I don't think it is. I think, basically, the policeman, he's been on duty all night, says it's the 12th of 12th of May, but he doesn't realise it's past midnight.
Right.
So the 13th of May.
Right.
Yeah.
But he says it's Thursday the 12th of May.
Yes, but they arrived Friday.
But Thursday the 12th of May was 1983.
Right, okay.
The 12th of May in 1984 was Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're thus invalidating all the questions around that.
Yeah, technically. And also her punching card thing was all about the 19th of May.
Well, that was the weekending.
Well, I did say weekending, didn't it? It's a period ending. Who knows? Who knows? I've never used a punching card, so I don't know how long they're valid for. 152?
Very good.
On screen, but doesn't it say somewhere something like 137 or something?
Yeah, they lied. But on screen it says 152. Where does she work?
Big Jeff's.
And she calls the character outside?
Big Buns?
Yep, very good.
Yeah.
I also looked into what they all ordered on the table, but I thought that was too finicky.
I remember a bully beef or something. I don't really know what that is.
What's the weight on the handguns?
Oh, is that 14 days or something? Or 4 weeks? I can't remember.
15 days.
Oh, 15 days.
Would have been a good one. We're going to know Tech Noir, right?
Yes.
Where was it?
Oh, a Pico or something like that, or Pedro. Or,
mm-hmm. Pico, I'm going to need the full name.
Though. Oh, I've absolutely no idea. No.
Pico Boulevard.
Okay. I don't even know what Pico is.
I guess it's just an address. Yeah, Pico Boulevard. So, okay, this is one I really wanted to ask, but I forgot to. What branded bottle saved Sarah's life?
Oh, Canada Dry.
Yeah, that's. I thought you'd have clocked that there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's probably there because he's from Canada, isn't he? Oh, Mr. Macaroon.
How long has Reese served under John Connor?
Ooh. Well, he says about being 21 to 27. Mm-hmm. So, 6 years, or is that something completely different?
No, he served under Perry for 6 years, and he served the last 2 years under John Connor, where he went from reconnaissance to security. Sunglasses were made by...
Gargoyles.
Of course you're going to get that.
Yeah, that was one of mine.
How many cops are meant to be in the building?
30. How many does he kill?
Oh, I don't know.
17.
Ooh.
I actually counted it, and then read on the thing that he does say in Terminator 2.
17.
Yeah, he killed 17 cops that night.
Who's the cop on reception?
Bob the cop. I've no idea.
It says right. Yeah. So I. Okay. In fact, I put that as my number one question, but I got all.
No.
I got all scared. And what time was it? They ran out of fuel.
3:05. No.
4:36.
Okay.
Because it says on the radio, this is 4:36.
Okay.
And I looked into the responses of the janitor as well. You know, when the janitor's knocking.
Right.
I thought, no, that's a bit too. anyway, I've got loads more. How many plastic bombs did they make?
7.
And also, what was the camera that the kid used at the end?
Oh, it was a Kodak rather than a Polaroid.
Kind of, yeah, a Kodamatic 740.
Ooh, get you.
Yeah, so there's loads more little bits like that, but
okay.
I've learnt more about Terminator than I ever want to know.
some of my extra questions. What colour was Sarah's hairdryer?
Red.
Orange. Kyle says the Terminator is a what unit?
Is it heavy artillery unit?
Infiltration.
Okay.
Sarah's middle initial?
J.
Yeah. What's her employee number?
Fuck off.
it's next to the date.
Yeah.
5081. this was a really good one. What are the two numbers for the gun store and the first Sarah Connor house?
I can't remember.
The gun store is 14329. Mm. The house is 14239.
Do you think we've lost people by now with
probably
how intricate we've got?
This is just for us now.
No, but how intricate we've gone, really intricate.
Yeah, what are the first words spoken in the film?
Shit.
What the hell?
From the guy from Weird Science.
Yeah. What's the make of petrol tanker at the end?
J&G Oil, which obviously is a reference to James Cameron and Gale Ann Hurd.
Yeah, who were together sort of at that point. This is what about what sort of shoes does he steal?
The Nike.
Nike high tops, yeah. And Traxler says, in how long will he get a car to Tech Noir?
A hot minute.
A hot minute. I love that line. It's a great line.
Yeah, hot minute.
Yeah, so that's it. That's mine.
Oh, I had the telephone number to hot, but I think...
Well, I had the telephone number to the shop next door.
But I think telephone numbers, come on, they're all 555.
Exactly.
Let's fuck off telephone numbers.
I think we fuck off telephone numbers, fuck off car makes, fuck off car number plates.
Which we've done.
Maybe clocks as well.
Yeah, clocks.
It's probably boring for people. Well, you let us know. Do you want us to ask these deep questions? Or would you rather we sort of kept it a bit easier for you guys to play along as well? Or do you just like hearing us stitch each other up?
So what we're doing at the moment is we are going through a transitional period where we're about to hit a 1 year anniversary.
It's called menopause, man.
Menopause. And we're about to go into a period where we're sort of hitting our first anniversary. Mm-hmm. We like changing things up. We like it to evolve. So please let us know your thoughts. We have had suggestions coming in about how we can make it better. We just ignored them.
No, we haven't. We had a suggestion from Simon, one of our listeners this week, that maybe you guys should 1 week out of every now and then send us the questions for a film. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you want to question us? Do you want to stitch us up? I think that'd be a great idea.
That's it. There's loads of places we can go. So we've got plenty of ideas for the future. But just let us know how you think we're doing. It's been a year. It's been a year,
I know,
buddy.
I know. Anyway, That's last orders at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
So then, I guess let's sum it up then. Go for it.
Okay. Yes, this is a great, great film. Very much a product of its time. And I, like you said earlier, it's nice to do a film that's set in the 80s and looks 80s rather than being filmed in the 80s and set in the 50s or the 60s or in some sort of never, never landish type thing. It's got some great performances. It's a bit dated in places, but as I've said throughout the podcast, I think that's unfair to single it out for that. It is just a great, great film, a great concept, a great... It's executed really, really well. It still holds up today as a really, really good film. And I'm happy to watch it over and over. I don't think it's as good as T2, but again, that's an unfair comparison.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, I guess, I'm not sure what the budget...
Yeah,
it's, I don't think it's fair. But just as...
Well, you mean 6 million versus 150 million is not
fair. Or whatever
fair.
It is, something like that. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the concept, you know, what it gave birth to over the next... Well, it still is. When was Dark Fate? 2019, 2018?
It was.
Yeah. So, you know, over
Dark Fate was the last year.
Isn't that the fucking truth? So, you know, it spawned so many sequels, not all of them good. And this is where it started, and it's really good. I think it's a great sci-fi movie, a great horror movie as well, actually. Although there are too many car chases. And there's a little bit of padding. But I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. You?
Yeah, I'm looking at similar because even in my drunk state, it's made me revise a score from a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to knock my Dirty Dancing score down a little bit.
Oh my God.
The thing is, when you, it's a drunk conversation between us two.
Of course.
And, it's,
and that's why we're fucking doing this.
So that, I think it takes my Dirty Dancing down to a 9 because I can't possibly give Terminator a score that is that much lower than Dirty Dancing because it's a bloody good film. I mean, I think Terminator has spawned, as you said, it's responsible for a lot. And I James McAvoy, you got me saying it now.
It's not me, it's Frank Disorders.
But I class this as his first film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Well, it is. So, it's his first complete film. Well, I guess he would have made other films in college or whatever.
Yeah, and I think he's great. I think he's absolutely great. And I love a lot about this film. I think I'm gonna hit you the same. 8.
Nice. Oh, then we're agreed. Then we're agreed. Yeah. And I think that's a fair score. I think it's a very, very good film.
And I think it also deserves kudos for what it did to the film industry.
It's such a minute fucking budget.
Six
I mean, 6.4 million. I'd love to have 6.4 million in the bank. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but to spend
as
it on
a budget
film,
for a film,
yeah.
Including, you know, the actors, all the effects, everything else that goes with it, that's nothing to make a film like this. I mean... You'd struggle to make just a drama.
The miniatures alone must have cost a
fortune.
Yeah. The puppetry,
And there was a bit in the documentary that said about the first time they did the blowing up of the oil tanker at the very end.
Yeah, they did
it
again.
Fucked it. Yeah. They had to go back and rebuild. They didn't. They only did the one, and they fucked it. So they had to go back and spend another. Was it 7 days or 4 days, something like that? Recreating this miniature again.
It was something about where is exploding from, wasn't it? And they wanted to explode from the back or something?
Where they were pulling it along
and the front came off.
Cable,
the front
they
came
pulled
off.
The wheels off.
Yeah.
But they still went with it. So they had to completely rebuild a model. So yeah, I think, yeah, kudos, like you say.
It is an important film.
Yeah, well, it's definitely important for Mr. Macaroon.
Yes.
And his career.
But then again, you know, if he hadn't done that, would we have got, you know, a lot of the other films? I mean,
exactly.
One of our favourite films, let's be honest,
of course, is
Titanic.
And it seems that, like, it's really uncool to like it. And
no.
Do you know what? I don't give a flying fuck.
We'll never get to talk about it on this podcast, but just for now, let's, for 2 seconds, Darren and I both love Titanic.
Yeah, and I don't care. So... Fuck off. If you don't like it, you can kiss my starboard rectum.
Okay, brilliant. Well, on that note, how about you?
You made me drink Prosecco. I'm going to get fucking outrageous.
Yeah, well, I'm getting outrageous. How's the Red Bull going down?
Oh,
as well?
It's gone. Fuck.
Well, before Darren starts streaking across the microphones, let's have the tagline for next week's film.
Oh shit! Yeah, next week. Yeah.
I'm really excited
about this. Not that I know what it is.
You don't know what it is. It's a bit of a curveball, though, and it's unlike anything we've done. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing how this...
We're coming across the Atlantic.
But not just that. I can't wait to see how you get from Terminator to this film.
I can tell you now, I think it's going to fail.
All right. The tagline for next week's film, as much as we could find, I could find, because Darren doesn't know what it is.
What is it? Tell me.
So the tagline for next week's film is Thatcher's Britain with her knickers down.
We're having a gangbang. We're having a ball. Oh, what could it be?
I don't know. But if you don't know what that is and you don't want to Google it and you want to be surprised, then why don't you look at our Facebook page on Wednesday where the trailer will be released.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you see?
Nice. Do you know what an erection is? Any watching?
A what? No.
Huh?
So anyway,
if
folks,
you know, you know.
Let us know. Did you enjoy Terminator?
Sorry, it's been so long. I think this might be a bumper episode for our 50th.
Yeah, well, why not? Why not?
Yeah. And just we've switched it off. Obviously, you've got this at this point, so you haven't. So thank you.
And we've got another milestone very soon, which is our 1 year anniversary.
Yoo-hoo! So we've got lots planned.
Expect us to be more drunk than we are now.
Fuck yeah.
So, till next time, what I'd like you to do, and Darren would like you to do, in fact, Missy's here, she'd like you to do it as well.
Absolutely.
We'd like you to visit the Facebook page, give us a like, visit the coffee page, give us a like.
Ko-fi.
Give us a like, give us a little...
Give us a Prosecco.
Give us a Prosecco.
Because, you know, in 2 weeks' time, it's our first anniversary episode. If you want us to drink more Prosecco, then you've got to sponsor us.
But yeah, please check out all our social media platforms, things like that, and share us with your friends. That is the most important thing you can think.
Thank you so much for everything you do for us. If you have any ideas, please get in touch. Like we said, if you want to quiz us 1 week, that would be fantastic.
And do you know what? It's kind of funny, man. I keep looking at every week, and every month our listenership keeps going up, and we're so grateful to you guys. So thank
you.
Listen, before we start sounding like that drunk uncle at a wedding,
I am.
Anything more to say, Darren?
No.
Okay, then until next week, then we will be back. But
every.
I've been Matt,
and I am Darren.
Cheesy!
The Terminator was first. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Shut up! I'm going to turn this into a drinking game.
You'll be pissed.